This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Our next guest who joins us, courtesy of our friends at the Windstar World Casino and Resort, great sponsors, great folks, it's the mighty Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com. And maybe we start there, Broaddus. How you feeling about that huge matchup with Florida this weekend?
Well, first off, thank you, Windstar, for being with us on this time. And I always feel better about games that are played in the evening in Baton Rouge. You know, I feel better about the situation with Joe Burrow and what he's been able to do at quarterback. You know, the offense has clearly opened up, and they've now taken advantage of the skill players that they have. You know, Florida starting a quarterback that has had a couple of starts now, not many throughout his career though. So that's a little bit of a different challenge for those young quarterbacks to have to go into that environment and play. The noise level will be intense. You know, Florida's got a good football team. I don't think that there's an underdog is what people in Vegas, and usually you don't go against Vegas and what they believe, but I feel like this will be a tough game. You know, LSU's got to play better, overall as in the defense. They've had some problems where they've had some lack of concentration at times. They've allowed some teams to kind of move the ball on them and score. And you know, those are the things you can't afford in an SEC game, especially with two teams that are pretty even in the way they play.
I got to ask you a football question about a whole other league here. And it's not college. It is pro. But I saw Darren Revelle just tweeted, the XFL has just sent agents a prospective player salary information.
Sure.
And they're saying that the guaranteed pay on a standard contract will be $1,040 a week. So $1,000 a week, the max a guy could make. The highest paid player in the league could make just under $5,000 a week, which, hey, that's good money in sure. society and the world. But in terms of trying to get guys to risk their lives and their bodies out there,
right?
How hard would that be to not only find guys that aren't already playing football, but get them to play at these numbers?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, some guys just don't want to give up the dream either. You know, they feel like that maybe if they have an opportunity to play and to get on tape and to keep going, you know, that's, you know, that league is going to be evaluated. I remember when I was in scouting, you had opportunities with other leagues, with the CFL, Arena, wherever it was, guys playing for a little bit less money than that, it seemed like, but they were, you know, people just players want to continue the dream. And, you know, maybe if they play well with the Dallas team or play well with, you know, the New York team or LA team, whatever, you know, that they can get an opportunity to get into a camp the following year, you know, and then kind of keep that dream alive. So, it's difficult. It's because. You know, some guys, like I say, they just don't know when to give it up. They don't, okay, you know, I've told players before, it's like, man, you know, what'd you study in school? Well, I didn't really do much studying. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, what do you feel like you're good at? You know, and you kind of try and steer them in a direction where maybe, you know, the football dream's over with. But that's one thing the XFL has allowed, you know, that it's going to get exposure. It's going to be on TV. And then NFL pro personnel guys are going to have to evaluate the league. And maybe some of those guys will end up in NFL camps and on NFL rosters.
All right, Broaddus, let's start talking a little Cowboys from this standpoint. We've had a lot of discussion on the show about Cam Fleming filling in
right
for Tyron. So how dire is it? Was he a huge detriment to the team in last week's game? Did they give him much help? What was your assessment of all that?
Yeah, it wasn't an easy game for him. I mean, but you evaluate these offensive linemen on 65 plays, and you know they went into the game not feeling like that they were going to need to give him much help initially. That's kind of what the game plan was, and then you know he had a couple of those plays where you're like, oh geez, here we go, kind of a thing. And you know he's not strong enough. He's at times he's you know, he blocks in a way that it's, you know, it's numbing to way he blocks, because he just like, okay, you're going to have to run over me to get to the quarterback. And we've seen defensive ends do that to him, you know, and that's a little bit scary, especially with, you know, with Dak Prescott. And, you know, Dak's able to move in the pocket and do things to kind of avoid those things. But, yeah, I mean, you know, having Tyron Smith in there, it's just so much more comforting to Dak and what they can do offensively. But I feel like that Cam, they're going to have to find a way to help him more than what they did. I just don't feel like you could start this game if he's playing again. He might be. Now, guys, at 12:45 today, we'll know if Tyron Smith is playing in this football game. When they get done with practice, they'll have an idea what his situation is and whether he can go. Now, if he can go, then that means Cam Fleming now goes to the right tackle. And then so now it's a whole different set of circumstances there. It's like some of the protection that you thought you could help him with on the left side, you now have to think about moving on the right side. And, you know, Greg Williams is the defensive coordinator for the Jets. He likes to blitz. He likes to twist his front. So he's going to put pressure on this line. He's going to put pressure on these running backs. He's going to put pressure on Zeke and Pollard to be able to blitz pickup and sort all that stuff out. So, you know, having Cam Fleming in there who, you know, is just not as athletic as you need him to be, that has to be a big concern.
All right, I want to ask you about something we've kind of visited with a little bit and with you about, and something Skin was talking about, and it's got me worried, probably unnecessarily so, but I need a football guy to straighten this out, and that is just the Cowboys' defensive line technique where they just try as hard as they can to get up the field immediately. And
yeah.
Skin was talking about how their teams are kind of using that against them, and I mean, is this something I should be worried about? Is it easy to fix? Do you just not do that on every play and try to get upfield? How are you looking at that?
That's what they are. And it's, I'm sorry, that's the best answer I could give you. That's Rod Marinelli's idea, is to attack gaps. Now, if you attack gaps, then you have to be able to play the linebackers in the gaps you're opposite of the ones you're attacking. So that's why you hear the word fit and finish so much with this defense, because if you've got a guy playing as a three technique and he's responsible for that B gap and his job is to go up the field as fast as he can to get through that B gap, then you have to have a linebacker sitting there in the A gap to take care of that, you know, or you have to have a down safety ready to play in the, you know, play in the C gap, that outside gap. I mean, so the biggest problems they have is, yeah, you can get washed when you're playing that way, but you also have to have the ability to fit. And they've had a big, big problem with their fits in some of these games where teams, when teams have been able to run the football on them, and especially happened in the Packers game, when you have a guy charging B gap and then all of a sudden nobody's there in the A gap because he's tried to make a hero play and instead of playing his assignment. And I'm talking about Jalen Smith a little bit here, because Jalen Smith is one of those guys that can make a play off instinct. And Leighton Vander Esch can make a play off instinct too. But if you guess, you better guess right. You better go make that play, because if you do get blocked, then you're going to have issues there. You're going to have spacing problems. You're going to have gap integrity problems, and you're going to have a ball going right through that gap. So, yeah, that's something that that they're not going to change scheme wise, because you know this is not a two gap scheme where you go into your man and you, like in 3-4 where you go into your man and then look to your left, look to your right, and then make the play. This is about attacking gaps, but they also need the linebackers and others to be able to fit the other gaps that they're attacking.
Do we have a Randall Cobb problem, Broadus?
Back was a little bit banged up yesterday, tightened up. He went to the ground on a drill, and it kind of tightened up. He wasn't at practice today, if I'm reading tweets right, because we were doing our show. So, you know, I don't feel like that it's something that they were really concerned about. But the fact that he is not practicing right now, I think they need to be a little bit more concerned about.
Okay, talking to Brian Broaddus here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, and kind of hearing some of Dak's comments and talking about the run game. I look at the Jets' numbers, and they have pretty good run defense.
Yeah.
But then you look at their offense, and those numbers are atrocious, last in the league in several categories. Is Sam Darnold enough to give them a seismic leap on their offense to move them like maybe to 20th or 19th, or is this just a disaster for the Jets all the way around?
Well, their offensive line is really bad, and that's been the biggest problems, you know, and I feel like that the Cowboys defensive ends can take advantage of this in this game. Kelvin Beachum, their left tackle, really, really struggles on the inside rush. I see Quinn pounding that outside, you know, two, three times in a row and then working back underneath. Darnold will get rid of the football quickly, though. He's not going to be like, you know, Falk and those guys where they've had some, you know, holding the football and giving up a bunch of sacks. The problem when you play against Darnold, though, is the fact that he will find guys to throw the football to. And this is where I worry about Jamison Crowder in this game. The first game of the season, Jamison Crowder was targeted 17 times, had 14 receptions. Again, the yardage wasn't huge, but we know Jamison Crowder from the Washington Redskins days of his stop-start quickness. You throw him the ball underneath, and then he's on the go. You know, Anthony Brown has had some problems in coverage, and that's why, you know, Jordan Lewis has to be ready to go, because if you get Anthony Brown in this game and all of a sudden he's getting a bunch of defensive holding penalties because he can't keep up with Crowder, then that's going to be some problems as well. But if you go back and watch the Buffalo game when Darnold played and Crowder were together, you know, they kind of wore the Bills out underneath, and I worry about that a little bit too. I worry about them with the with their ability to throw the football to Le'Veon Bell. Now, again, that's me. Can they run the football with Le'Veon Bell? I think they're going to try. I think you're going to see Adam Gase try and run some of the plays that that the Packers had run. Maybe some people have had a little bit more success running the football, and he's going to kind of go to those plays and try and see if he can get Bell going. But they really haven't done anything on the offensive line. But this quarterback will make a difference, because I think he'll get rid of the ball a little bit quicker and make a little bit quicker decision on where he needs to go with it.
Another basic football 101 question for you here relative to the Cowboys scheme. You broke down the Anthony Brown pass interference with Geronimo Allison
right.
in the Packers game, and he just never turned around, and then when the ball was underthrown, it was easy call. But you'll hear people screaming at their TVs all weekend going, hey, if the Cowboys aren't trained, their defensive backs aren't told to turn around. That's why they don't get interceptions. Well, set the record straight here and what their technique is, and are they supposed to be turning around?
Well, talking to Chris Richard, I mean, they play, there's times where you do see them get their heads around and other times you don't. And that was a particular situation where Brown got caught not looking for the football. But, yeah, they teach eyes up, hands up, go up. That's kind of their technique and where they teach their defensive backs to play. It's more about reactions than it is. They feel like when they turn that they can get out of position that way. So if you play them face up and then react to the hands going up, they felt like that's a much better way to play the ball in the air. Well, they've had some struggles with that. But I think the interference call was a lot because the ball was underthrown. You know, I think that Brown was in good position, but, you know, Allison slowed up, and then that made the contact to be a problem for the call or make the call. So it's something that Chris Richard teaches, you know, eyes up, hands up, your hands go up too with him. That's something that they teach here.
Great stuff, Broaddus. We always love it, man.
Appreciate it, boys. Take care.
There he goes, at Brian Broaddus, DallasCowboys.com. Great contributor to the station and doing awesome work over there. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We'll get back into the other remaining NFL games at 12:40, but before that, we'll find out everything that's going on the injury front with Mickey Spagnola next right here on The Fan.
All right, joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show, thanks to our friends at Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. It is the great Mickey Spagnola. And Mickey, a lot of concern here in the Cowboy Nation about Cam Fleming being on the field. Chaz Green memories flooding everyone's memory. So how concerning is this? Is Cam Fleming going to end up being on the field?
I believe he will. I don't think Lael Collins will get back in time for this one. I think he needs another week or two with the sprained knee he suffered this past game. So I think that the way they're leaning, at least this way, and I don't know if they'll change their mind, but if Tyron Smith can go and play left tackle, then I think Cam Fleming plays the right tackle, where it should be maybe a little easier to give him help there than on the left side, just because most teams are right-handed and they can put a tight end over there. And if you don't fall behind like they did early in the game against the Packers, you know, they started off with a lot of two tight end formations, and they had to get out of it because they had to end up throwing the ball and they needed more wide receivers on the field. So if they can just get off to a good start, you can go with two tight ends and put one on one side, one on the other, and help out Cam Fleming, because, yeah, you're right. You know, you should be worried if he's on the field.
Okay, not injury related, but is there any aspect of this game that worries you?
The part that would worry me is if you look at their losses going back to last year, the majority of them, including last week, is they have had trouble stopping the run. And Le'Veon Bell, I don't care, you know, what kind of offensive line they have, he's still pretty good. And he's still pretty good in space if you throw him the ball. So I think that would be the thing that concerns me the most, that they have to figure out how to take care of their run defense against some of these teams that do run the ball fairly well. You know, we didn't expect the Packers to do that. You figured, you know, Aaron Rodgers was going to beat you, not Aaron Jones. But he did. Made life tough on him. So that would be the aspect that I worry about the most from a personnel standpoint. And just the fact you're on the road and you never know what's going to happen, especially against teams that are struggling. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for a punt block return for a touchdown last night, the Giants and the Patriots would have been 14-14 at halftime. So that should be a lesson for everybody that nothing's easy in this league.
Talking to Mickey Spagnuolo, the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Kellen Moore speaking to the media yesterday. Were you there for all that?
I was listening to Chris Richard. I heard some of what he had to say, so I'm not sure where you're going.
Okay, so basically what had happened is we had Travis Frederick on after the Saints game, and he thought they were – I don't want to – I'm going to paraphrase here, but let's say he knew – he thought they knew what was coming. Like maybe they had stolen signals or knew what was happening. Well, then you had somebody on the Saints team was talking, saying, yeah, we went back and we studied what Kellen Moore was doing at Boise State, and we were able to track some of the things he was – hand signals he was using. Yesterday, Kellen Moore, talking to the media, called all of that clickbait and just kind of blew it off. But isn't there – I mean, Travis wasn't specifically talking about Kellen Moore's hand signals, but he thought that they were kind of keyed in and that maybe there was a tell. And so what do you make of all that?
Yeah. Dak kind of blew it off too. Said he hoped that they would they had been studying his signals at Mississippi State. So I can't imagine that he was using the same hand signals that the coach sent in plays to him at Boise State. I mean, you come in, you take over an offense. I don't know that you change all the hand signals, right? Because the guys know the previous ones, and I'm sure that you don't keep the same ones from year to year. Look, all I know is, you know, the spoils go to the victor. So you can say what you want, and everybody believes it. And, you know, sometimes it gets exaggerated. I mean, I could remember... what was it, last year, 2 years ago, when the Eagles accused Sean Lee of stealing their signals? And little did they know he's here to 7, 8 o'clock at night studying tape, mm-hmm. and he was just diagnosing what they were getting to do, what they were getting ready to do the way he lined up. So, yeah, I think a lot of that stuff gets exaggerated a lot.
I wanted to be them stealing hand signals. I don't want them to have already known tendencies, you know, 4 games into the year.
Right.
I don't like that idea. I want it to be a simple fix.
Well, when your offensive line is getting whooped the way the Saints whooped them, then you can say, oh, yeah, we knew what they were doing. I don't know. That just sounds fishy to me.
Do you think, Mickey, as we've talked so much about run defense and all these kinds of things, how would you, through 5 games, grade these linebackers? Also, let's put it on a scale. How much better do you think they can be than they can?
Oh, I think they can be a lot better. You know, we were talking about things that have surprised us this year on our podcast just about an hour ago. And I said the one thing that surprised me so far was that the linebackers haven't made more splash plays, more game-changing plays. Now, they lead the team in tackles, the Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, they're the top two guys with tackles. But we haven't seen those game-changing plays from them yet. And I, for whatever reason, I don't know. But normally, you know, when you saw Sean Lee make those plays, it was because he anticipated what was coming before it came. And I don't know if these guys are diagnosing things as well as Sean Lee used to when he was out there. Because certainly, you know, if you look at his athletic ability, I mean, it was good, but it wasn't great. But his preparation was so good. And I'm not saying these guys aren't preparing. I'm just saying that I just haven't seen them seem to anticipate what was going to happen before it's happened. And that's when you make those types of plays. And that's the thing that I think has surprised me about them so far.
Awesome stuff, Mick. Appreciate your time.
Okay, see you guys.
There
see you,
goes, homie. Mickey Spagnuolo.
See ya.
All right. Hey, you got a chance to win $1,000 just by listening. And how about right now? That's probably not.
Dude, I was about to text him.
No, let's not do it right now. But you will have a chance at some point here. Let's see. It's 28 after in the next 32 minutes. If you can just listen for the next 32 minutes, you'll have a chance to win
$1,000. All right.
All right?
I'm probably not going to be able to.
I feel good about my chances.
You'll have another chance in the 1 o'clock hour as well. We had Jerry Jones on the show earlier. We're going to go around the NFL part two coming up, and then we'll get into more Jerry cuts. But I did want to get into this. This is cut number one, Shippy. This is just Jerry's overall analysis. We talked about how, hey, the Cowboys and Cowboy fans were riding high after 3 weeks and just dominant, planning parades and – then after these last 2 weeks, the sky is falling. It's the end of the world. And we just wanted to know, hey, Jerry, how do you feel about the team right now, and how should fans feel?
Well, I think it's understandable. It's right of having high expectation. We feel good. This is a young team that we have, and it's actually, for its youth, it's experienced. Key players on both sides of the ball have played in a lot of games. And so we really should expect better football, and that is not as many mistakes. We should, and that's critical because our defense is predicated on everybody doing their job, not figuratively speaking, but literally. And they need to get in the gap, or if they, for whatever the reason, have been washed out of that gap, then you've got to have a player right behind him that takes up the slack. But we've got to be able to, those linebackers have got to be able to drop back and do some covering, and as well as step up there and help plug those gaps. That's almost too simplistic, but we can do that. We have the players that can do it, and they've been coached up in a way can do it. Over on offense, we all like the idea that we're opening it up, and it does and will create more running room for Zeke. And then we've got their defense, our opponents, in a dilemma. Well, let's don't shoot ourselves in the foot and turn that ball over. You turn that ball over, and it completely washes away the other good parts of what you're doing. The turnover is the number one stat, and we've lost it the last 2 weeks. I don't expect us to continue to lose that battle.
So he at the end there, he's harping on the turnovers, which he's been harping on the whole time. But the beginning part of that answer was real interesting to me, coming out of what Mickey just said. And this guy texted in on the AutoFlex Leasing fan text, which we always encourage you to do, 877-881-1053. Sean Lee is a great linebacker that works his butt off. These guys have been playing for 2 years. And so if we look at, like, you know, we've been fixated on the health of the tackles, the run defense, the kicking game, and I think the Cowboys have been fixated on turnovers more than anything. But that's why I think the run defense thing can get better. Whether it's good enough to where we feel like, hey, that's not going to be the thing that runs this team into the ground like the Rams game in the playoffs did last year. But there's not enough credit given to how much the studying puts you in position to win. Think about those legendary stories of Ray Lewis having a whole theater in his house just to watch film. I mean, these guys that are just at it 24/7 are the ones that are in position to make plays. And I just don't think Smith and Van Der Esch are there yet, but I'm convinced they can end up being there. I think that they're the kind of guys that will put in the hours to do it.
Did you get the sense in talking to Broadus, one of our listeners tweeted this, that Broadus was saying that Jalen's guessing, mm-hmm. and because I couldn't remember exactly how he worded it, so I don't want to put words in Broadus' mouth, but somebody responded to us on Twitter. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, wait, Jalen's guessing, so if he guesses right, he has a splash play. If he guesses wrong, he gives up a big play.
Yeah, and I don't want to put words in Broadus's mouth. You know, that's kind of the implication there. If you go back and look at some of these big plays that are run plays, almost every single one, Jalen's in the wrong spot.
I think that's part of the problem. I think we're getting more bodies to the linebackers than we saw at the first half of last year, mm-hmm. too. I think you combine those things. If you go back to the Colts game last year, mm-hmm. That's where this all kind of started. I saw a stat that they were giving up 87 yards per game, and then you go out to the Colts game, and since then it's jumped up to 124 yards per game. Now you can say, well, there's three big games last week, the Rams game in the playoffs and that Colts game that really make that average go up, but you've given up three more points since then, and you've been giving up about a yard per carry more since then. My fear, that's my big issue with the team, because that's the only thing from a long-term perspective that keeps popping up. Like, turnovers, that was a two-game thing. I don't think that's going to be a thing. The two consistent things are getting turnovers, mm-hmm. which is like a six-year thing mm-hmm. or more, and then this run defense, which is just kind of keeps popping up like a thunderstorm every few weeks. Those are the big concerns because they're consistently there.
Have you guys thought about this at all? And it's okay to throw something in my head and tell me I'm the old man. I'm okay with that. But have you guys noticed we're doing a lot of discussing about Jalen's play, and as much as we're talking about his play, there's that many endorsements out there for him right now? Do you ever think about that? It's okay if I'm just being a dumbass.
How he's endorsing things?
I see him everywhere. I see him with every local contractor endorsing their product.
And now I'm wondering how you mean relative to the quality of his play.
Because, like, for example, like we were having those discussions with Dak, right? It's like, mm-hmm. man, Dak is taking on every endorsement. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Okay, so you're saying is his play suffering because he's spending so much time on endorsements?
I'm not telling, hey, guys, go get your money. That's great. Mm-hmm. But as we're sitting here talking about guessing and being in the wrong spot, it is not an indictment of Jalen Smith. Every person, I would do the same thing. If I had suddenly gotten a $50 million contract or whatever and had all these endorsers line up, I would exhale. Every person in the world is likely going to exhale. You're a different type of beast if you don't. Especially if 2 years ago you thought you might never play again.
Layton's got endorsements too. You know, I mean, they all have a certain amount of...
They all have a certain amount, but man, I feel like I'm watching a Jalen Smith channel when I turn on my television. I mean, he is everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. He's cashing in, and that's part of what that's why he gave such a team-friendly deal.
Uh-huh.
He realizes the value of being a Dallas Cowboy and making all that money. I hadn't thought about that. Anytime I think about him not playing well, I always go back to his knee exploding.
Right.
And I'm like, well, he's not ever going to be the exact same guy he was, but he's going to be close to it, and that's good enough. That's kind of how I look at him. Is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy at all. I mean, I think, first of all, we're five games in this year, okay, mm-hmm. and they both had a great game against New Orleans. That's why last week was so confounding, is because they played well against New Orleans, and then that happened. And that's what was real frustrating, and maybe Green Bay just had a really good plan against them. It's hard to really know what the Jets are going to do, so it's hard to take that seriously. I just feel like I want to reassess everything after another big game. You go 0-3 in big games so far through your first seven. Yeah, I'm more apt to freak out about it, I guess.
And by the way, Broadus just hit us back. He said, hey, y'all aren't putting any words in my mouth. He's guessing.
Okay, good. I want to be super careful with that. So that's good to know. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Teams might be game planning for him to guess based off what they've seen.
I just feel this. And look, I'm no scheme expert, but when you just look at how many like little shuttle passes are used against this team or little screens and how effective they are, teams are going, all right, they're going to blow up the field. When that team blows up the field and your linemen immediately get up, your linebackers are the ones that have to make those plays in that situation.
Yeah.
And if you're out of position, you're toast. You are toast. Because to get back in position, you probably have to run through a guard. Like, you have to get out in front of the guard. And it's just a lot. Well,
I need a safety to help me out and come make some more plays, too.
Everybody's got a say in this. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Ben's going to guide us around the remaining NFL schedule. Is good. We'll chop it up next.
Hey, we did part one at 11 o'clock. Let's get back to the rest of the games on the docket. We'll get right back into some Dallas Cowboys football and some Jerry Jones audio coming up momentarily. And then at 1:20, it's tell us what you're thinking. If you are wanting to be a sports talk radio show host today, we're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to open up the phone lines. You can call in and tell us anything you're thinking about. Whatever opinions you have, questions, whatever.
Can you get the fourth?
Yes. Yeah. If it's Texas OU, if you want to talk NFL, if you want to talk Mavs, Rangers, Stars, whatever you got.
Tell us what you're thinking
at 1:20. So be prepared to call in at 1:20. But right here, back to the NFL. Let's go to the next game on the docket, and that is, did we do the Bengals at the Ravens?
I believe that's the final noon game on the slate.
That is actually my Skinwade sure shot fart. Poop explosion game of the week.
What?
That's a bad game.
You know, it is a bad game. Not the worst game, but it is a bad game. The Ravens, again, formerly a very proud defensive unit, have allowed the most rushing touchdowns in the league.
All you need to get back on track is to face that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, Ben. Bad team. But I'll say this. The Ravens need to prove a little more. Lamar's fun. And he's fun to have as a fantasy quarterback as well because he runs and gets you points that way as well. He threw three interceptions last week. There was a play, though, in which he ran into a camera lady on the sideline.
I saw that. Yeah.
I actually have the audio of Lamar talking about that. Would you like to hear that?
Yes.
Because they're human beings, too. You know, and I know we're moving fast, you know, we get physical out there on the field, and we come at full speed, and she's sitting down, you know, taking pictures. I know that kind of hurt it, so I had to make sure she was all right.
Did you say anything to her? What did you say?
No, I just rubbed her head, because it looked like I hit her head. Yeah.
Did you see the picture that she got of the play?
Yeah, the stiff arm. It was her with the picture. I just told her it was a great shot. I actually DM'd her and asked, was she okay, you know, and I told her that was a great pick. Yeah.
Is she doing okay?
Yeah, she told me she was fine. Yeah.
What a good dude.
It bothers me because this happens a lot where you see a player on the sideline, and I know they're caught up in the moment, and there's a lot of violence that they play with, but you see these people get hit on the sidelines because there's so many people on the sidelines.
I know that kind of hurts.
And they just run past him. Well, can you just knock the guy over? At least just kind of like pat him on the butt and say, hey, you all right, man? Like a lot of times they just run right by him.
So you'll notice, in fact, it happened during the Mavs scrimmage practice at the AAC. Doncic always stops down every time he plows through it. And those dudes on the baseline are in a bad position because they have a camera to their eyeball and then a human's on top of them.
Guys, let's move on to the next game. Falcons at Cardinals. And listen, I would never use this really stage and forum to bitch about my own fantasy team.
Oh, hell.
Oh, here we go.
But Devontae Freeman, you suck. You are beyond suck. How I ended up with you on my damn team is a curse, and I'd like to find a DeLorean with a flux capacitor, go back in time, and reverse that. You are terrible. He's 26th, according to Pro Football Focus, in elusive rating out of 30 qualifiers, so he doesn't miss anybody. If you get near him, you tackle him. He has one game with 30 rushing yards. Ben, or more, even though he's carried the ball at least 11 times in four or five.
If you had taken the time to subscribe to my digital fantasy pamphlet, you would have known I had him as the last draftable running back.
He sucks.
There's no way you should have drafted him.
And he should be a blocking fullback. He is terrible, and he's ruining my life.
Kyler Murray, on the other hand, though, Ben?
Yep.
He is the first player in NFL history to have more than 1,300 passing yards and 200 rushing yards in his first five games of his career. So he's averaging 265 passing yards a game, 40 rushing yards per game. He's not running unless he has to, so he's not getting killed like I kind of thought he would. Like, I thought he would be forced to run way more than he has.
Little guy really can get down.
He's really kind of doing it when he needs to at the end of games and things like that. And I think that's a smart way to use him in a first year where they're not going to make the playoffs and they're going nowhere. I'd be so pumped if they got a win over the Falcons and improved to 2-3.
Yeah, I love seeing the Falcons fail, too.
Gonna stay in the mix. This is going to be a fun game, I believe, because neither of these defenses are good, and both of these offensive lines suck. So this could be kind of fun. Could be a little action in this game.
Man, I just want to hit this because ever since KT planted in my dome piece, I've been thinking about it nonstop. I just pulled up and looked at the Geno Atkins contract as Cincinnati's about to be, what, 0-6? Isn't that what they're going to be there?
Yeah.
So if they're willing to give up, I mean, you're talking about their dead cap hit this year for the Bengals would be 14.2 and then 7.8 next year, but all of that bonus accelerates to them. Would you guys be okay paying Geno Atkins 11, 11.7, and 12.9, but you can cut him at one of those years?
How old is he?
31.
I don't want him for more than... That's why I'm more interested in McCoy or Sue, because they're one-year guys.
Yeah.
They're one-year guys who will be free agents next year.
I think Carolina's going to stay in that division. I don't think Tampa will. I think Tampa falls back and Carolina stays in.
I think that's fair.
I just think that Atkins is so gettable, and he's got such a big contract. I don't think you have to give up much.
According to the internet, he is still playing at a very high level.
He's
gentlemen.
A badass, but see, they absorb all the cap hit for the signing bonus.
A high level, Ben? Like, you're saying he's getting freaky with it?
I'm saying he's getting left freaky with it.
Now, what does that mean, Booger? Explain that.
I.e., getting freaky with it.
See, what he's saying is he's saying that he's just good at it.
he got into that. He's like, I probably shouldn't explain what getting freaky is to these people.
I've never felt so dumb than the crap I just said. I take it all back.
So, I'd be okay with that if it wasn't a huge resource. Again, for me, I want the defensive tackle. I want to go get a guy that can help this just S show that's happening.
Right.
I just can't afford to give up a high asset like a high draft round pick because
let's break down with America what get freaky with it means. It means whatever play you're making, continue to make it at a high level, i.e. get freaky with it.
God. I don't think that's it.
That, God, surely that knocked them off the air.
So I don't want to. You need those draft picks. You're about to have such a top-heavy payroll. So if you could give up like a fifth-round pick,
I think I would. I mean, it's a lot of money, but I'd give up a third for.
I ain't about that money.
Yeah, I know.
I want this money disappearing after this year, and that's where Gerald McCoy and Sue come into play.
You can get some of this money.
All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket. The San Francisco 49ers go to L.A. to play the Rams. Oh, by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo's thrown a touchdown in 11 straight games, the longest active streak in the league. In your face, Kevin.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't say anything. What did I say about him? What have I said about him?
This is
you're not a Garoppolo guy because of his choice of actress.
He likes big porn.
I thought his focus was elsewhere. That's all I said.
So he signs that contract and then immediately takes porn stars out every night. So this is the game where the Niners, this is the real test because they haven't really played anybody. And depending on how you feel about Cleveland.
Is this a game, too, where you also end up asking, are the Rams that hot?
Yeah.
Because if they lose and go to 3-3, I don't know if you can claw back in that division with Seattle and Sanford. If San
especially losing a home game to the Niners.
You know,
that's in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You look at their look at the quarterback matchup, Goff and Garoppolo, you know, kind of similar numbers. Garoppolo's keeping up with Goff and kind of proving he's worth the money, I guess. So,
I was going to say he got paid
test, to. Man, this is their first test of the year, San Francisco. It's their first real game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of see, you know. I'm not ready to say they're the team to beat in the NFC or I don't think they're better than the Cowboys.
Who, the Niners?
Yeah.
No, they're not better than Seattle.
Yeah. All right.
So take that.
By the way.
But they play the Rams, who beat us in the playoffs, and I still think are better than us.
The Niners have a logjam in their backfield. Now that Tevin Coleman is fully healthy, it's going to be a job share between him and Breida, and Mostert's going to get some carries as well.
Yeah, Mostert.
I love Tevin Coleman when he was job sharing with Devontae Freeman, Ben. You should go back to those days.
Yeah. Good God, Devontae Freeman!
Don't worry about Devontae, man. You'll be all right.
Oh, by the way, the Rams have thrown 117 passes in the last 2 weeks. Think about that. 117.
Jeez. Hey, don't just blow by that great sports point Kevin just made.
What did he say?
Pretty good.
You're going to be all right?
Can you hit that again? Right? You have a drop of that yet?
Don't worry about Devontae, man. You'll be all right. So do the weapons on the outside, like I'm thinking about San Francisco. Here's where I think they need to add if they can go dabble. Maybe A.J. Green, maybe Stephon Diggs, because where they're effective is George Kittle's incredible, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Deebo Samuel, the rookie from South Carolina, has been great. He's like a slot player. Who's like the outside guy? Marquise Goodwin's okay player. Like, who's the guy
that's
going to go win on the outside? The Cowboys have that. The Rams have that. The Saints have that.
Goodwin can Seattle do that. Goodwin's has that. A speedster.
He's good.
Too short?
He's good.
It's cool that he's too short in Oakland.
But if they added another player to that mix, especially since they don't have a dynamic running back, they're able to add another player to that mix on the trade. I mean, all these wide receivers are up for grabs. AJ Green, you can go get if you want him.
I know a lot of people don't want him because of his ankle. Yeah, but I'm not ready.
Diggs,
I don't think you can get Diggs, bro.
I think you can.
If they beat the Eagles, that's coming off the board.
I don't think so.
I think so.
All right.
All right. Next game, Titans.
Good debate.
A lot of great points.
I think so. I don't. I do. I don't. You don't.
That was not Choppy that was doing that.
Titans at Broncos.
Yeah.
This is the game.
Right. America's game of the week.
This has a potential. My fun game, my KT fun tweets fun game of the week is 49ers Rams.
Okay. That's good.
And it's also that is going to be the Dick and Stink show. Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
Is Joy and Troer. Joy and Tro are taking the day off. Joe and Troy.
They got
Cody Parkey. Welcome back to the NFL. The Tennessee Titans missed four field goals last week. You thought we had a kicker problem. We'll see how Cody Parkey does. Now, he was bragging, saying that he's been staying in shape and playing golf every day with his smoking hot wife in Jupiter, Florida. And then he gets picked up after they gave up on Santos. How will he fare? Where's this game at, Ben?
I think it's in a neutral site.
This game is in Denver.
He's got the altitude.
That game's in Denver, woo-hoo. Kevin.
I predict that this
good
is
reporting, Ben.
I thank predict you. That yep, this yep. is the game that politicians will most likely point to as the NFL is failing, and they will hold this game up as the reason.
All right. One more game. Steelers game. At Chargers. Roethlisberger's out. Mason Rudolph's out after that nasty concussion. That means Delvin Hodges is going to make his first start. It's going to be against the Chargers, as I said. And the Chargers are missing Mike Pouncey with his neck injury. He's been placed on the IR. Russell Okung, blood clots, is out as well. And it was already a terrible offensive line.
God, this game may be more unwatchable than the Titans-Broncos game.
How many more playoff appearances will Philip Rivers have? Is it over or under the amount of daughters that he will have in the future?
Oh, God, under. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, way under.
His wife is always pregnant.